Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, turn them to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Where we've been talking about being thankful. Amen. Because Thanksgiving is coming up, and I just want to get us all in the right frame of mood, and right frame of mind, and the right mood, and just thankful for everything that God has done for us. Amen. Yes, ma'am. The scripture? Yes, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I got a call last night, and I'm just going to run it by everybody and see what we think. But the Seventh-day Adventist Church called us, and they said, when we originally rented, they said we would rather you did it on Tuesday or Thursday because we might want to use it on Wednesday. But they kind of retract that and said, look, if you want to have it on Wednesday rather than Tuesday, you can. And I think that's a pretty good plan. I think that's a pretty good idea. But I wanted to just pass that by everybody and see what you thought. And, you know, so I think that's probably what we'll do. And we'll make an announcement and make sure everybody knows. But possibly by next week, it'll be on Wednesday rather than Tuesday. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited about that because, anyway. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. I love this verse. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. He's saying that we all have the same faith. We are coming from the same place, right? And verse 14 says this. It says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord will also raise us up and will present us with you. Verse 15. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound toward the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. In order to be thankful and to continue in an attitude of gratitude or an attitude of thanksgiving, you have to have your mind in the right place. You cannot and should not determine whether you're going to be grateful based on what happens around you. You know, this happened, that happened, the election didn't go quite the way we wanted it to, whatever, but it's not over. But it doesn't matter. None of that matters, really, because our hearts need to be in the right place. And again, in verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Your inner man is thankful. Let me say that again. Your inner man is thankful. Your inner man is full of joy. Your inner man is full of peace. Your inner man is full of the glory of God. And what do I mean by the inner man? The Bible says that we are spirit, soul, and body. And we all know that we contact each other through our bodies. If I was to come up and shake your hand or bump your elbow or whatever we do now, it would be my body touching your body. That's body to body. And if we started to share thoughts, that would be mind to mind. But we have a third part of us that's distinguished from the body, and that's our spirit man. And when we talk about that those outside of Christ are dead to God, it means that their spirits are not in communication with God. That they're not in a relationship with God because sin has tainted that. And so what we're talking about tonight is thanksgiving, but we've got to bring that to the spirit of man and say, Lord, I don't care what my body feels like. I don't even care what my thoughts are saying to me. I'm going to choose to be thankful. And really, if you think about it, you don't have you don't have to go very far to find something to be thankful about. Even tonight, it's like, Lord, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus, right? I'm thankful that Jesus died on the cross for me, that my sins could be forgiven, because I found out for myself, right, that I couldn't be good enough to be good enough for God. And I also found out that His holiness is not something that I can gain on my own, because He's holy. The Bible says that sin cannot stay in His presence. Sin can't stand in His presence. And so my sin, and the sin of every human being that's ever walked on the face of the earth, keeps them from the presence of God. But the good news is, once we recognize that I need Jesus in my life because I want to have a relationship with God, we can submit ourselves to God through Jesus, and then we become what the Bible calls born again. And what that means is that our dead spirit now becomes alive because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from our sin. Is that something to be thankful for? Yes, yes, yes. That's something to be thankful for. Glory to God. Glory to God. If I can't get enough people saying yes, I'm going to put bobbleheads on the front row so that, yeah, you know, they keep going. No, glory to God. We just need to be at the place where we understand that I need to stay in a constant state of thankfulness. And I'm not only thankful for my salvation, right? I'm thankful for those who God has brought into my life that are saved too. Right? I'm grateful that my wife is saved. I'm grateful that my kids are saved. I'm grateful that my grandkids are saved. I'm grateful that some of my siblings are saved. Some of them are going to get saved, but some of them, because I'm believing for all of them to come to a relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ, right? And to apply the blood in their lives. And so we can be very grateful for that. Go to chapter 9, same chapter. So we're thankful for our salvation. And I think, you know, when things get a little rough or down, we just need to think about the blood and think about what Jesus did and what He paid for us and just say, Lord, thank You, 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 thank You. You know, I get really thankful when I become a knucklehead and do something that I shouldn't do, that God still loves me and that He doesn't pull the plug on the blood because I messed up. It's a forever thing. So I thank God that He'll never leave me nor forsake me, and that He's with me as long as I want to stay with Him, and I want to stay with Him for eternity. Now look at verse 10 of chapter 9. Look at this. It says, now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply seed you have sown in increase and the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, I'm thankful to the church that was at Corinth. He said, I am so thankful for your generosity of gifts because your gifts to me have sustained me. So, in other words, I'm grateful for people. I'm thankful for people that God puts in my life to supply my needs. And you think, well, who could that be? Well, if you have a job, it's your employer, right? Thanks be to God that whoever founded this company sowed into the earth an opportunity for me to have a job. So I'm thanking God for my employer. I'm thanking God for, you know, somebody who feels led of God to give me something. You know, we just have to become thankful to God for every bit of our supply. And I'll just put it this way. We know that God is our source, right? God is our source. But the people God uses is our resource. In other words, God is my source, but He might use my job in order to pay my bills. But God is still my source. God is the source of all my love. He's the source of everything that I have need of, even emotionally, physically, spiritually. But God uses people right? To just demonstrate that to me. Thank God that God gave me the gift that's sitting on the front row here, Renita Gale, right? That God gave her to me to love me. But the love that she has for me comes from God in the first place. But I need to be thankful to God, but I also need to be thankful for her. Does that make sense? And so we need to be thankful for the people that are around us. We could cause a lot more harmony in the homes if we truly became thankful for the people that God puts in our lives. Flaws and all, right? Come on, we got to. My dad used to say this. He said, "Man, you got to cut each other a lot of slack." Another thing my dad says, "Don't sweat the small stuff." He said that a lot, Bruce. Don't sweat the small stuff. We major on the small stuff with people around us instead of being thankful for the big stuff. Come on, yeah. Mm. Right? I'm thinking about my mom right now and growing up in a family. We had 12 children in our home. Not all at once. I mean, I'm the third oldest, so I was around when there was only 3. And then 4. And then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, but I'm thankful for my mom because of her incredible ability to manage all of that and make us all feel loved. It's nobody was an outsider, and it wasn't just the 12. All of our friends felt the same way because she was an incredible lady. But I'm thankful to God for using my mom and my dad to establish who I am. Were they perfect? No. No. But I need to become thankful, watch this, looking over their flaws. Looking over their flaws. How many know that and the Bible is clear that what you sow, you reap. Or you reap what you sow. Right? What does that mean? That means if you sow into a certain thing, you're going to get a harvest of that thing. Watch this. If you sow discontent into your home, then you're going to feel discontented. If you sow bitterness or anger and frustration, and that's all that you're about, and you're not thankful for what God has given to you, then you're going to be a bitter person. But if you sow, and the way to sow into the good thing is to become thankful to God for the things that He'll point out to you if you'll let Him. So rather than thinking about all the bad things about the person that God's put in your life, whether it's your boss or it's your sister, it's your mom, it's your dad, it's your brother, and rather than thinking about all of the bad things, become thankful and get a list in your head about the good things. Let's go to a scripture that I wasn't going to go to tonight, but go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look at this scripture, and many of us know it, but think about this for just a minute. How many want the peace of God? Right? Look at we're going to go to verse 6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So we're supposed to be thankful for what God has given to us, and even the fact that God hears us. But I think we need to go way beyond that and be thankful for the gifts that God gives us, not only materially, but relationally. I'll just say it this way. I think that we even need to be thankful for the people that come into our lives that sometimes irritate us. Why? Why would you say that? Because oftentimes the reason that you're irritated is because there's something in you that needs to be adjusted. It's not always about that they're a jerk. Sometimes it's about you need something changed. Because this is true. This is very true. No one can make you anything. No one can make you mad. No one can make you happy. No one can make you sad. No one. Now, that's a choice you make, oftentimes based on what happens, right? But if you choose not to let something bother you, it won't bother you. In other words, have you ever thought this? Man, she really pushes my buttons. He really pushes my buttons. Well, who's in control of those buttons? You are, unless you hand control over to somebody else. That's why forgiveness is such a big issue. Because if you don't forgive somebody, and again, you got to define forgiveness, and I'm not going to go into all that, but forgiveness is not saying what they did was right. But what forgiveness is releasing them over to the judgment of God and going, God, I don't want to carry them the rest of my life. Right? So I'm walking in forgiveness. But thanksgiving, again, is a choice that comes because of what God has done for us. Let's go on. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. How many want a little more peace? Peace in your home. Peace in your thoughts. Peace in your head. Come on. The main place that you need peace is between your ears. Right? Because the outside influences, they can contribute to it, but it's really your choice in what you're doing with the thoughts that are coming to you that attribute to your peace. Why am I saying all this? Because thanksgiving in everything and thanking God that He's with you and that He's going to help you and He's never going to leave you and that He's your supplier and all of that puts you in a place where you can look outside of the now into eternity. God, woo, glory to God. He's coming for a church. And he's coming for His bride. And it's going to be awesome to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. But look at this now. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. See, there's a way to guard your mind. How many have ever thought, man, I get all these thoughts. I wish I could control these thoughts. I wish I could shut them up. Right? Have you ever thought that? Right? I wish these thoughts wouldn't come. Why am I thinking this way? And the answer to that is your relationship with God and becoming thankful for what God has done for you in that. But watch this next verse. And it's what I wanted to get to. Finally, brethren and sistren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now watch this. Meditate doesn't mean just think about them. And meditate doesn't mean just mutter, you know, just and stare at a candle. What meditate means here is to think about them and talk to yourself about them. So what does that mean? That means, Lord, if I'm ungrateful, if I'm mad, if I'm angry, if my thoughts are carrying me away, I've got to come back to this verse and filter my thoughts through this verse. If you want to be thankful, you carry your thoughts to this verse and you go, wait a minute now, is that true? Well, it might be. Is it noble? I don't know. Yeah, there's a possibility. Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? And if it doesn't hit all those filters, you reject it. You reject it. Why? Because it doesn't run through the filter. And so I'm not going to allow my mind to continue to think on thoughts that are contrary to these filters. For instance, and nobody in this room, nobody that I really know, but if I'm thinking about somebody, man, that guy is an idiot. He's just a jerk. He always does that. Well, first of all, is that true? You say, yeah, he's an idiot. No. He's a jerk. Does he always do that? Probably not. So right there, I have to kick out the thought, and I have to bring it back in line. And watch this. How many want God's love in operation all the time? Right? All of us do, right? I want to know God loves me. And so if I want that, I'm going to operate in His kind of love. And I'm going to love the unlovely and become thankful that God's given me an opportunity to be used by Him to display love to somebody that may not deserve it, may not have earned it, may not even act like they want it, which was all of us before we got saved. Right? God wanted to love us. God wanted to bring us into the family, but we rejected Him over and over and over again. But God wants us to come back to the place where we become thankful for everything that He's given us. And so we have to put our minds into the Word of God and become thankful for people. Go to Colossians, the book of Colossians. And that's just the next book over, so just a few pages over. And chapter 4. Chapter 4. In verse 1, it says this: Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continually, earnestly in prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So, our prayer life, watch this, our prayer life, we're supposed to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So we're supposed to be continually, earnestly in prayer, but we're supposed to be vigilant with our thanksgiving when we're praying. What does that mean? I'm on it. I'm gonna be constant. When I'm praying, I'm also going to be thankful. When I'm thankful, I'm going to be praying. But I'm going to use thanks as a weapon against the enemy when he's trying to destroy me. Come on, I'm going to use thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 I have learned over the years that thanking God in the midst of being mad releases the pressure out of the balloon rather than having the balloon blow up. Have you ever had a balloon that's just, it's full, and you stick it with a pin, what happens? Pah! And what's left of that balloon? Pieces. And they're all over the place. But you take that same balloon, and it's full of air, and it's full of pressure, but you untie it, and you slowly let the air out, right? There's the pressure's gone, but you still have the balloon. What am I saying? I'm saying that we need to be at the place where we're letting God deal with our emotions so that we can continually be thankful. And when we're praying, it's a great time to be thanking at the same time. I think that we should be as thankful to God when we're praying as we are asking God for things while we're praying. In other words, God, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need this, and brother this, and sister this, and this, and God, you know how bad this is, and you know how bad, and none of that's wrong, but I think we ought to even the scales with, well, God, you know that these are the situations that are going on in my life, and you asked me to bring them to you in prayer, which I'm doing, but Father, I just want to thank you right now for your goodness and your mercy and your love and your peace, right? You may not like the way our country is going, for instance, or the way this governor or that senator or whatever is acting, and it could be just, Lord, I'm just praying, Father, for a shift. I'm praying for, but God, I thank you that we have the freedom to worship you, that we can come to a building and worship you without the threat of, you know, the police or the army coming in and taking us to jail, which is happening in China tonight, right? Right? And so even though I may not like things, I'm going to become grateful and thankful in everything that I do. So whenever I pray, I'm going to be in thanksgiving. Meanwhile, verse 3, praying also that God would open a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. that I may manifest it as I ought, and walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. God, I thank you for every opportunity that you give me to display your love and the gospel to somebody else, no matter whether they receive it or not. Lord, thank you for giving me the boldness. Lord, thank you. See, when you ask God for something, if you really believe that you have it, then your response should be thanksgiving in it before you ever receive the answer. See, he's saying, pray for me and pray that you might have boldness to proclaim the gospel. So what do you wait to be thankful when suddenly boldness comes on you? No, you thank God that you have the answer to your prayer because God heard you when you spoke it. Does that make sense? So we need to be thankful. God, I just thank you that you hear me. Sometimes you feel like you're praying and it doesn't even reach the ceiling. But it doesn't matter how you feel. Based on the Word of God, he said that he hears all prayers that are in the name of Jesus by believers who are sanctified by the blood. So Lord, I thank you that you hear me when I call. And Jesus was a great example of that. He said, Father, I just want to thank you that you know and you've already answered my prayer. But because of those that are around me and that they don't believe, I'm asking you to do such and such. But he said, I thank you that you've heard me even before I speak. Right? And that's our same relationship with God. I can know that I know that I know that God's not afraid of any question that I have. That he loves me enough to answer them. But at the same time, he will not reject me, even though the question that I'm asking may not be in line completely with what his thoughts are. In other words, God is for you. He's with you. He wants you. Amen? Glory to God. It's so good. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 15. It says, therefore, also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I don't cease to do it. I do it all the time. When I think of you, I thank God for you. I thank God for what God's done in you. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to preach or speak in your life. And I think about all of the people that God has put in my path that I've been able to minister the word to. And I think about, man, have I really thanked God for the opportunity, but also thanked God for the fruit of the anointing? Right? Scott's back there, and I'm thinking about when we went to Guatemala and we went there on a twofold thing. We worked with our hands all day, but then at night we went and preached somewhere and I thank God for the opportunity to do physical labor, but I also thank God for the ability to speak into people's lives and see people blessed And right now, I mean, just as I'm talking, God, thank you for so-and-so. Thank you for those people, even though I don't remember all those names. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to go to Africa and all of those people. But thank you, God, for every person that's ever walked through the doors of the church when we've been meeting, that you've given me an opportunity. I thank you for that, but I also thank you, Lord, that there's fruit that's been produced because you've allowed me to be in that position. That's so good. God, I thank God for everybody that God has allowed me to be used for. And you think, yeah, you're the pastor and you do that. But it's different. I believe that God has put every person in the church with the ability to do something. And there's different parts of the body. But one part is just as important as the other part. And I'll explain that a little bit. I believe the person that cleans the church is just as responsible for the people who get ministered to at an altar call. Why? Because they're helping and they're preparing the way. The musicians, whoever it is, Sunday school teachers, whatever it is, I believe that they're just as responsible as anybody else. Again, another way for that to happen is if you sow into somebody's ministry who's doing something, then you get the fruit of whatever. In other words, if you're sowing in, they go over and they get 1,000 people saved in a crusade. You get the results of that. But watch that. It's not just that, oh boy, look at my bank account in heaven is growing and growing. But Lord, I want to thank you that you allowed me to be a partaker, to sow into that, and to see the people who came to the knowledge of you because you gave to me. Does that make sense? It's kind of like, man, we got so much to be grateful for, and so many people and so many things to be grateful. Paul said, man, I just want to thank God for you. I want to thank, ever since I've heard the fact that you gave your life to Jesus, that you've surrendered yourself to Jesus, ever since I've heard that, I'm so grateful to God that the Holy Spirit spoke to you and that happened. Man, that's so powerful. So, again, we need to become thankful. Thank God for the meal that He provided. Thank God for the roast beef that's waiting at home. Thank God for all of these things. Thank God that I have a house that I live in and that God's preparing a place for us and doing all those things. Thank God for the car that I'm driving. Thank God for, you know, everything. But Lord, those are just things that are going to perish. I want to become grateful and thankful for the people that God puts in my life. And however I serve them, I want to be grateful for that opportunity to serve them. I've told you this before, but while I was going to Bible school, I was also going to a fairly large church. And I started out working out in the parking lot, directing cars and that. That's a whole story I'm not going to get into, but then I was ushering inside. And in Oklahoma, in the middle of winter, and sometimes in the middle of summer, it's much nicer to be inside than outside. I'll tell you that. But I would go, I'd have a section, you know, like church was in sections, and I'd have a section that I was responsible for as the usher. And I'd go and pray over every chair as I get there early, pray over every chair. But I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to serve God, to serve the pastor in that capacity, but also to serve all of the people that sat in my section. I'm grateful for that. But I don't know that I articulated that a lot, but we should. You know, if you're teaching a Sunday school class, or you know you're out blowing the leaves out so that people could come and thank God, Lord, that I'm able to serve people for you, and I thank you, Lord, because you've allowed me to do this and boldly proclaim your gospel that there are people going to be blessed because you've allowed me to do this. Become so grateful and thankful, touching lives. God, you're using me to touch lives. That still is an amazing thing to me. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What's an amazing thing to me? That God would use me, really use any of us, to speak something into another person's life that could have an eternal impact. That's amazing to me. Just, you know, we did a memorial service this last weekend, and I believe that God used me to touch the people's hearts who were there in that memorial service. And what an amazing thing. In fact, my oldest brother was there, and he came up to me after. He says, you sound kind of professional, like you've been doing this for a while. You know, he was giving me a hard time. Well, yeah, I've been doing it for a couple of, you know, I've done a couple of them before. But see, I don't want to be a professional in the sense that I can eloquently talk and that, I mean, we should do that, but what I want to know is that, Lord, you're using me to speak into somebody's heart to give them a chance to know Jesus or to be affected. I mean, it thrills me as much. God, to pray for somebody who's suffering, pray for somebody that needs to be healed, somebody that needs to be delivered. Look, we ought to be thankful. God, you used me to pay for a tank of gas for somebody who really needed that gas. And they come, I can't thank you enough. You don't understand. I needed to get to Tacoma tomorrow and I wasn't going to be able to, but because God put that on your heart, I'm going to be able to go. We ought to walk away from there and go, thank you, God, for using me. Thank you for putting that on my mind to do. Thank you, God, for being in the position to be a servant for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give God thanks always for you. Excuse me, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and in belief in the truth. So again, thanksgiving is much more than thank you for this meal, thank you for this provision. But Lord, thank you for putting me in the place to be used by you to touch somebody else's life. Thank you, God. Now, whatever role that's in, it's like sometimes in doing that, in the daily walking out of that, sometimes it's kind of hard. It's drudgery. For instance, Lord, you put me in so-and-so's life. Well, I'll just say it this way. A wife thinking about her husband. You put me in his life to be a helpmate. Thank you for that, Lord. But there are days. Right? There are days, Lord, when you know, he's not all that I thought he was cracked up to be, right? Right, some days, Lord, I've asked him to pick up his underwear, but he never does it. I mean, there are days, Lord, when it's at that time that it's almost like, but Lord, I want to be thankful for him because you've given him to me, not only for him to be a blessing to me, but Lord, you've given me an opportunity to serve him. Right. Serve her, serve the children, serve her parents, whatever it is. God, I want to thank you for this opportunity. Think about this for an instance, and we'll think about closing in a few minutes. But watch this. Well, before my parents passed away, I was able to be part of the caretaking team that took care of them when they got really sick. And my dad passed first, and so of course my mom was there, but I'd take time off of work and I'd go to doctor's appointments and all of that. I'm so grateful that I could be there for them. I can remember before my mom passed away and she went through chemo and all that goes with that, you know, the day after chemo and all those getting sick and, you know, but I'd spend one of the nights every time she went to chemo, and not every time, but a lot of the times I took her to the doctor's appointments and I did all of that. I can't tell you how grateful I am that I was able to do that. God used me even in those times to be able to speak into their lives and to show the love of God. But more than that, even, I mean, I was just thankful for the ability to bless them because they both blessed me so much. How could I repay them for everything that they've done for me? So again, it's getting in that attitude of thanksgiving. It's allowing ourselves. And again, I want to go back to the definition of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving means that we're going to be at the place where we're choosing to be grateful to God for circumstances in our lives. And again, how many know that there are different ways to express thanksgiving? Thanks a lot. You know, somebody does something, thanks a lot, right? Or, you know, tell your sister, your parent, tell your sister thank you. Thanks, right? And so is that really a heartfelt thanks? Probably not. Probably that's lacking. But if we're thanking God, then we should be mindful of how we're doing it. God, I really want you to know how much I appreciate what you've done for me. I want to appreciate just you to know how much I appreciate that you are even mindful of me. Because in that, there's a sincerity to that. I've had, and I'm sure you've had, and the people that you do something for, and they come, I can't tell you how grateful I am for you for that. There's a couple of instances, I won't go into the details, but I was able to go to a good friend of mine, and I was able to go to one of my sisters, because they did something at a time that I was really under it. But both of them did a couple of different things, but they came to me at that hour, and they basically, their expression to me was so critical for me getting through what I was going through. And 30 years later, I both of them, in the last couple of years, I've been able to talk to them. And I say, you know, you just don't know how that touched my heart and how grateful I was for that and how much that meant to me. You know, and I had a need to express my gratefulness, my thankfulness. But man, it was absolutely heartfelt. You know, guys don't cry, but tearful gratefulness, right? Because it's from the heart, it's from the core. So we're talking about thanking God, being thankful to God. Let's not let it just be the surface. But let's let our hearts just be absorbed with the love of God and become grateful for everything that He's done. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You, God, for the ability to be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for, God. You've done so much for us. We're so grateful, God, for You allowing us to be here tonight, for us to be ministering or talking to people here in the room and people over the internet. And Lord, I just ask You to bless those that are watching tonight. Touch them, Father. Lord, let them know how much You love them. And if there's somebody here in the room or somebody watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you know in your heart you're missing something. There's something inside of you. There's a void that only He can fill. So would you be brave enough tonight to just say, Jesus, I need You. I need You. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. I believe in my heart. And so I'm saying it. Lord, I believe that Jesus is Lord. And I just want Him to be my Messiah. Take my life. Use me, God. If you prayed that, He'll do that. I thank you for listening. And Father, I just ask you for your blessing upon them. Thank you for the opportunity to minister your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.